Welcome to the Friday night edition of Coast to Coast AM. John B. sitting in for Ship Captain George Norrie. Now, looky here. I'll tell you about these two fellas who are about to join us, because these are very cool people. Now, I told you Dan Johnson's 19 years old, an Eagle Scout, and recognized one of the top 30 impromptu speakers in the U.S., but he's also a political science major at Bowling Green State University. Speaks a moderate amount of Japanese, they say. His wake-up call was watching a video on the NDAA in November, and after doing some research in late January, he founded PANDA, People Against the National Defense Act. It's supported by groups across the political spectrum, and is now one of the fastest-growing liberty movements in the nation, with over 60 chapters in over 30 states, recognized by many as an upcoming expert on the subjects of liberty versus national security. The 2012 National Defense Authorization Act, H.R. 347, and the gradual slide toward an American police state. Dan Johnson has already spoken to both the Northwest Ohio Conservative Conference and the Oath Keepers Midwest Regional Conference. And Stephen Miller, told you already, studied law for over 20 years, acts as a private attorney general for the public interest. He's an expert of law and using law to benefit the public's interest and make changes. He also writes material for PANDA. That's the People Against the National Defense Act. And by the way, I'll give you their website in a minute. You can take a look at it. He served in the U.S. Army, received an honorable medical discharge. He was chemically poisoned, almost died of pneumonia at Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. But he's also known worldwide as Maestro Stephen J. Miller, opera tenor and guitar virtuoso. He set a world record live on TV for the longest human vocal notes and most powerful operatic voice, still unbeaten. Gentlemen, welcome upon the bridge of the mothership that is Coast to Coast AM, and it's a delight to have you here tonight.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you, John. Very eloquent. Thank you.
Well, thanks. You know, I remember one time back in the Stone Age when dinosaurs roamed the Earth, I actually won this toy called a monkey gun. And it was by going on the this local TV station, which is a huge thing now. Actually, it's a huge thing now. We just didn't know. It's the only one we knew about, really, then two other stations. You go on Icky Torp's Slam Bang Theater, and he would have the children do strange things like hold a note. So I held the note the longest to where everybody, I was determined to get the toy. This is fifth grade, we're talking. And I was always looking around like, is this kid going to shut up or what? So, I don't know. Despite the tender number of my summers, you might have me beat there, Stephen. I'm not going to have a competition where you're holding the longest note on a, in a national forum. That might be mortifying.
You're being very kind, John. Your voice is just amazing. As an opera tenor, your voice is highly respected.
Thanks very much for that. I had nothing to do with it, but I'm had to have it. I'm happy to have it. Otherwise, it would be completely unemployable. Now, how is it that you two fellas got together? You obviously, both of you are doing great things in your lives, and Dan's 19. I haven't asked how old Stephen is, and I won't. But how'd you all hook up and form an army of two?
Stephen actually, he went on our website, like a lot of people are doing right now, went on our website, went to the Join Us link, and typed his information, said he wanted to join us in fighting the NDAA, and we called him back, and I've been working with him for about a month now or so, maybe a little more than that, but that's through the Join Us page on our website is how we got together and found out that he was a really excellent guy, and he knew his stuff. So.
You know, I'm very interested in finding out, Dan. I am sure that there are lots of young men and women out there that are in your demographic, shall we say, that are doing great things. But it is, you know, it's the propaganda that you hear, meaning the general chatter, is that these kids, you know, they're not really. They're not engaged in politics. They're not really aware of what's going on. They're just more into the party mode. Do you find that to be the case, or are there some? Do you come across people like yourself who are engaged at 19?
I see a lot of party mode. Don't get me wrong, but I have found in doing things like flyer blitzes, so going around campus or going around the town and handing out flyers, asking if they knew what NDAA was. I have actually found that not only is the younger generation seeing those about a college age more aware of the things that are happening in the world, and actually more of them have heard of NDAA than the older generation, but they're also more willing to listen to a new idea if they're not as locked in. So if that is a propaganda, I find the opposite to be true.
That's excellent. That's good to hear. Anytime that we can debunk propaganda, it's a good thing. Well, so the three of us here with a few million of our closest friends. So just be at your ease, and anybody go at any time that they want to. For those in the listening audience who are really not familiar with NDAA and really have other things to worry about, that sort of need to be concerned about this, what exactly is it that you can explain to them? And this recent development today about the waiver for the indefinite detention, does that get your attention? And do you believe it? I mean, do you think it'll hold more than a couple of months?
Now, as far as the NDA itself, and this would be for listeners who even already know what it is, because as you know, John, and as you know as well, Stephen, as many of the listeners know, we're heading into the World Series here, to use a baseball team term, in world events. We are heading toward the last stand for America, as we are close to the edge of a police state. And the last stand for America, since we are one of the only superpowers left, is really one of the last stances for the world in general. So just as if I was going into the World Series, and just as if, and when all of us are going into the World Series, if I was a manager of a baseball team, then I would continue to run even people who know the basics, my star batters, through the basics over and over again. So it's always good to hear what you probably already know, just to confirm it and go over it.
Sure.
So jumping right into the NDAA, stands for the National Defense Authorization Act. It has been passed for 48 years by Congress. The defense authorization indicates that it appropriates funds for military spending. It has done that. However, since 9/11, it's become a more and more dangerous bill, leading up to the 2012 NDAA, which authorizes the indefinite detention of American citizens without charge and without trial. And according to Lindsey Graham and according to the bill, it makes America a battlefield, thereby imposing the law of war on American soil.
Okay. What do you make of this? What do you make of the Stephen? Jump in here anywhere you want. What do you make of this reversal?
I'll interject and expand on what Dan just said as far as law. America, most of us know, have been under a declared state of emergency, military law jurisdiction since 1933. Actually, before that, but it's been on the books, and that's why. When you go to court for a ticket or for anything statutory, they'll say, oh, we don't want to hear the Constitution, because they're operating under the Queen of England, who's a proxy for Rome. Okay, and this is all completely unconstitutional, much less lawful, and people mistake legal for lawful. I'll expand on that just for a second. Legally, you have to have a driver's license, but lawfully, according to the law, you don't. So there's a big difference there, and people confuse the two. And so that's what's going on. We're under a declared state of emergency, and now they're starting to bring it out in broad daylight. Like, we can do whatever we want. We're under military law jurisdiction. That's why everybody flies a Title IV battle flag instead of an American flag, and most people aren't even aware of it.
And it got passed, so the latest revision of it was passed, on New Year's Eve? Last year, I think?
It was passed on the anniversary of the Bill of Rights, but it was signed into law, as you noted. It was signed into law on New Year's Eve, yes.
Okay, and when we see this these waivers coming out of the White House, I mean, like I say, this is just information, it's not actual intelligence yet, but... Do you, you know, if they can turn it on and then turn it off, I guess they can turn it back on again anytime they want.
as far as an official waiver, I have not seen an official waiver come out of the White House since March or late February. And the late February waiver was President Obama, 1022, like you mentioned. The president was required to put that waiver in the bill. And it is not necessarily a waiver of indefinite detention for people, but merely procedures in which to implement Section 1022. And even without going into the legal ramifications of this waiver, which it was a while back, even without going into the ramifications, look at practicality. Number one, NDAA 2013 debate in the House. And that debate was centered around whether you should be able to detain a person or an American citizen, and the Smith-Amash Amendment, which would have effectively repealed NDAA, did not pass. And also, as we are well aware of the NDAA lawsuit going through, this lawsuit was appealed by the Obama administration within 24 hours of Judge Forrest issuing her permanent injunction. And they said that it would cause irreparable harm to the administration if they were to lose the powers in the NDAA. So even practically, that waiver did absolutely nothing to calm or to quell the powers that were granted under the NDAA.
Excellent. I'll tell you what, let's take our little break here. It's a substantial little break, but then when we come back, let us discuss the spin that's put on the NDAA. And I'll tell you what I'm talking about when we come back with our guest tonight, Dan Johnson and Stephen Miller. This is Coast to Coast AM.
This is Coast to Coast AM with John B. Wells. Now, here's John.
That's K.W. Shepherd. That's Kenny Wayne Shepherd. If it was Kenneth Shepherd, you would think that he was maybe a modern music guy. But say Kenny Shepherd, you know it's going to have a little country, a little rock thing going there. Good piece of music, too. Well done, Kenny, or whoever wrote the song. Okay, the spin I was talking about a while ago, let me tell you what I mean. It's so difficult about, you know, bringing the facts. A little deal I read from the HuffPost Politics a while ago is from February of this year. So then, a group of people sued the government, effectively, over the NDAA. And the judge said, this is unconstitutional, I'm blocking it. Guess what? The administration went back and said, you can't have national security compromised because if some judge makes a decision, so they gave it an extension. Got another judge to extend it until the 28th, which is today. I don't see anything about it in any of the usual news sources. Nothing. Can you follow me? Spin it this way, spin it that way. It's there, it's gone. Oh, no, it's fine. Everything will be fine. Is it? Well, it will be as long as people like Dan Johnson, Stephen Miller, and others stay on it. Dan and Stephen are our guests tonight. We shall return with them, chat for a while, and then take some of your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Dan Johnson and Stephen Miller, straight me out on something here now. The spin I was talking about, it's like the NDAA is alive. No, it's not. They can't detain Americans. Like, yes, they can. Okay, somebody went to court. Judge said, this is unconstitutional. Got another judge, said, no, it's all right. We'll leave it in place for another little while. And unless I'm very much mistaken, I believe September 28th was the end of the extension. But I don't see anything about that anywhere. So what's up with this? I mean, is that the idea, to confuse people, make them think that it's on, it's off, it's fine? What?
Yeah. The National Defense Authorization Act, I'm going back into law terminology, and our listeners here on Coast to Coast, I'm a coastie, they're very intelligent in this subject matter. Act, if you listen to the terminology they're using, National Defense Authorization Act. So you go to a theater and you watch an act, there's actors for doing an act, a fictitious law, that they use it against you in a real way. That if you don't understand the law, and if you're brought up on any stupid charge, they have you. But it's still an act. Like the Military Commissions Act, Patriot Act, these are all fictitious maritime statutory acts. They're not in real, like, common law, if you will. They're not permissible under any law. They're just an act. But unfortunately, the majority of Americans don't understand law, so they give up their rights and they go to jail voluntarily. That's basically how the law works in this country for the many decades. That's just, Dan's probably got a more expansive view on that.
Well, I'll tell you what, before we go back to Dan, let me ask you this. Now, if you've been studying law for over 20 years and you've been active in this, I suppose you have observed many, many blatant violations of the Constitution, like this one.
Yeah.
I mean, I take it, when you call it an act, I take it to mean it's not codified as law. It's just an act.
It's not law at all.
But how do you challenge such a thing?
Well, I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
I'm sorry, I just say, how do you challenge such a thing? I mean, the way that it was done this time in court.
Why? In fact, I was just going to get to that. I'm glad you brought that up, John. The problem with our country is everybody isn't like you or Dan Johnson, very intellectual, intelligent, and well-informed. Most of them are busy trying to put food on the table, and they really don't have a grasp. I tell people every day, I don't know how many, a lot. I do auctions, too, but I tell them, don't participate. In other words, don't participate in the banking system. Don't participate. If your mortgage is corrupt, which most of them are, find somebody like me that can point out the fraud within your mortgage and remedy situation. And if we all start taking an active role, no pun intended, in doing that, the system, their corrupt system, if you will collapse. But as long as everybody's volunteering and going to the courthouse with their ticket, saying, yeah, I plead guilty, the statutory, these are all statutes. There's 65 million statutes. So we have been in a police state for decades. A police state doesn't mean there's a cop out in front of your house every minute or there's a roadblock everywhere. A police state simply means that every single thing you do is policed. And you'll know this by when you have a yard sale and the local sheriff pulls up and writes you a ticket. It's been that way for decades, and now it's just so in your face. Go ahead. Anybody else wants to jump in there?
No, it's all good. Go ahead. Did you want to come there?
We've been in a police state for, I'm 48 years old. I was born just outside of Detroit. I lived through the riots, and George Norrie was speaking of him for a second, was a DJ when I was a kid. Anyway, that's another day, but so it was a police state back then. And I remember the National Guard shooting college students and the police shooting it on, and this is 40 years ago. So now there's another 25 million statutes piled on top of what there was when I was a kid. So everything is illegal, literally. It's a federal crime to possess a lobster, okay? I mean, it's just so far gone. Without Dan Johnson, guys like Dan that I was lucky enough to meet up with, it gives me a little hope. And guys like you on Coast to Coast, to me, this is, I'm not trying to be too spiritual, but these you guys are divine people. You're sent here for a reason, and you're doing a good job. I was thinking that. Incredible.
Well, you're very complimentary, and I'll tell you, there must have been some divine intervention. I think there must have been, or I can't imagine that I would have been here otherwise, because it was because it was really unexpected and absolutely delightful. But anyway, hey, about your weapon, go ahead. Somebody was going to say something.
Dan? Yeah, I completely agree as far as divine intervention. I am not a divine person in any way, shape, or form. But as far as divine intervention is concerned, we go back to our founding fathers on that one. They gave their property, their fortune, and even some of them their life. And they trusted their creator to protect them. And that is the same way I feel about this movement, me personally, not necessarily the movement, but not necessarily my organization, but I believe there, yes, divine intervention would have to come in, and I would completely concur with John on that.
Yeah, and if I may interject, I'm not going off the spiritual deep end, nobody get panicky, but when you really give a deep thought, okay, and this gives people hope, which is hard to find right now. Unemployment, suicide higher than it's ever been with college students, so you just want to interject some hope. Well, I mean, this goes into dimensional talk. I've talked with Jordan Maxwell for I don't know how many hundred hours in California. But I really believe we are, according to science, this is all scientifically weighed, this isn't from the church or anything, moving into a different dimension. So in other words, I'm sorry, Dan, you're not a kid, but you know what I mean? The younger folks, kids to me or John, they're way more smarter than I'll ever be. You're not so easily fooled. And this is the problem with the Illuminati, the Bilderberg, all these people. They're no longer, they can get on TV and blast out their lies, and people like Dan Johnson see right through it. I see right through it, but it took me a lot of work. The younger generation, they see right through this left and right paradigm, so it's coming to an end, and they know it. So they're acting fast to bring about whatever nuttiness they're trying to bring about. And we're trying to prove Dan Johnson, myself, John D. Wells, all these good people, that no, the human race, for the most part, is civilized. We want peaceful remedy, you know?
You know, Neil Howe would call Dan, well, he is one of, according to his algorithm there, you're one of the millennials. You are the greatest generation. The I can't remember the year spread, but up to about mid-late 20s now, the ones that are really going to come into their own in the new millennium. You're the ones that are going to have been handed this great big stinking plate of stuff, and you're the ones that are going to solve it, according to Neil. And he's researched it deeply. So I'm really not surprised about this, but I am curious, how do you pull other people, Dan, how do you pull other people who are in your demo into this? Or you indicated earlier, a lot of them are already into it. But I mean, are they organizing, and are they fanning out and networking and pulling more people in?
It's little by little, and one of the things that I personally loved about the Ron Paul Revolution was it was never about getting a president elected. It was always about education. And they have done, and the Ron Paul Revolution itself has done a lot to wake my generation up. And from there, it's just the age of the internet. My generation has basically grown up with the internet and with this free flow of information never before seen in the society. And I think that free flow of information has been an extreme help to my generation in organizing it. And with born on the internet, I still would probably be studying for my exams at this hour instead of being on Coast to Coast AM talking and trying to give hope to several listeners across the world. And without the internet, I think the internet has changed the demographics of my generation, and it makes it so much easier to reach out to people who have not been spoon-fed a certain rhetoric and a certain line. Rather, there's the internet and the free flow of information where they can go on and look up themselves, Google, YouTube, anything like that. They can go and look themselves, so they're much more open-minded. And I find that, and that gives me a lot of hope, and not hope like Barack Obama hope, but hope. And that gives me just a lot of inspiration to see my generation. We are going to not only have to deal with it, but I think my generation will deal with it.
Yeah, that's interesting. Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
He's doing a... Dan, you guys are doing a job that... I mean, nobody can commend you high enough what your generation is doing, because I personally feel at fault. I mean, most days that I wake up, I'm an emotional person when I see little kids and, you know, and teenagers and people in their 20s in college. I feel personal responsibility, if you will, because it's like, what did we do wrong? Where did we fail these guys? You know, it makes me sick to my stomach most days. I even think about it. So I try to find a way to fix it, and that's where I met Dan, and I started the Tea Party Revolution in Florida, and I don't even go into what they would put me through down there, the law, government, terrorizing me. Tonight, they zapped my radio and my neighbor's radio. Zapped it, dude. I mean, the radios went off, and they didn't come back on. In fact, until your program, your producer or whatever, picked up to talk to me, our radio started plugging back in. My neighbor's going, dude, my radio just popped out. $1,000 radio. And you couldn't get a single station on it, so I don't think they're happy about what we're doing, if you will.
Well, it's obvious that some of this, what I would call passive aggression is going on with a lot of people who are whistleblowers. I mean, it's widespread. They just kind of let you know that they're looking. I mean, two guys who shall remain nameless at this moment had drones come, over their houses at like 100 feet. They're not in a city situation. And one of them said it was a predator drone. It's like, really? So nothing surprised me. I start having net problems and all kinds of issues, email issues and everything else, whenever there's a controversial guest, let alone a pair of them like yourself. Say, about your website here, let me give it out here. People Against NDAA, not the NDAA, just peopleagainstndaa.com. I thought it would be org. I didn't have my glasses on, so I typed in org, didn't go there. And so by the time I found him, I figured out why I was having to type it in three times. Just peopleagainstndaa.com. And on this site, you have a bumper sticker. Terrorist. According to the Department of Justice, if you have an anti-UN bumper sticker, you are considered a terrorist, or at the very least, suspicious. And then there's another one on here. 19 reasons the U.S. is turning into a giant surveillance grid. You know, before we get into some of the nuts and bolts of that, which are always fun, let me ask you this. Why do you imagine that there is this overwhelming desire on the part of the government to surveil everybody? I mean, why? How boring can it be? Well, I mean, most of us just live in our lives. They're tracking us as we go, to get a Twinkie so they can fine us for eating a high-fat food, or what is it?
It's fear.
Why are they so obsessed with this?
Fear. They control us with fear. And it's been that way forever, but now it's really, really bad, draconian, if you will. Because they keep us in a catatonic state of fear. And then they offer us a slight solution, like a Milwaukee Bastard or Xanax or whatever drug. So, and now they're ramping the fear up with the wiretapping. It's just ramping up the fear a little more and giving you remedy by saying, just behave. That makes sense?
Yeah,
and
I'm afraid it does.
Not only that, but those who gain power once, even their entire family, are very reluctant to lose that power, very reluctant to give that power up. We once, in the world, had many kings and many monarchs, and democracy is a very, very, and republics in general, but democratic republics are very new concepts. And with this democracy, these kings, these monarchs, do not have the power that they used to. Well, they are trying to gain it back through surveillance, and that is the control freak aspect of it. Much like if you're in a relationship and there's someone who wants to control everything that you do. Well, there's freak aspect, that power aspect that is in there.
Very well
put. The power back. So if they're going to have to control the world to do it, they're going to control the world to do it, but they want their power back.
Wow.
Well, power is the, I suppose it's just the ultimate drug for some.
Yeah.
I suppose it really is. That's the power for power's sake. I mean, really, after you've had everything the money can buy, what else is there, right?
That's true. John, here in Michigan, for example, Agenda 21, which we won't get into that because it's on your show, which I'm sure Dan might have somebody contact you about that, Agenda 21, but Michigan is basically a constitution-free zone. because we're surrounded by the Great Lakes. And according to Agenda 21, which everybody can Google that themselves, just like it sounds, Agenda 21, look it up. Well, they're going to control, Michigan is a very oil-rich state. A lot of people don't know this. Hundreds and hundreds, thousands of oil wells, taps. Okay, they're going to control that and our natural water source, which is spring water, all over the state, taps. And they're going to move all the people into these little concentration zones. This is already passed into law. And people
don't... already passed into law?
Yeah.
You know, this is extremely timely.
Yeah, they just, all they need to do is enact it through causing complete chaos and then offer people remedy. Here's your remedy, the FEMA Relocation Emergency Center and rice and whatever else.
Oh, that sounds
not
great.
Not only
we
Michigan,
don't...
but several, and it's because of the border, 100 miles from the border.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah, much of the country is under a constitution-free zone, where they, and well, now all the country under NDAA is under a constitution option zone, but
right.
Under a constitution
yeah.
free zone.
Well,
is everybody out there, and go ahead. I was just wondering if everybody out there in listener land is getting this. This is really quite good stuff. And then I interrupted. Please keep rolling.
No, Dan's right. I wasn't trying to co-mingle, if you will, the two. But I'm just trying to say there's Agenda 21 is. I mean, they're working on that diligently, and that's just something you can. Research. Dan knows far more about it than I do, as a matter of fact. I just brought it up because I'm just sitting here looking out at the water. Go ahead, Dan.
Well, that's all right. Listen, we're coming up on one of our breaks here. It just so happens that, and I'm not trying to hook my wagon here to your team of horses, but you are a team of horsepower, but actually the program tomorrow night, I'll be sitting in the chair for that, and it's all about Agenda 21. So, yeah, we can get into that, too. It's tentacles from the same creature. It's just an octopus. It's, but it's, you know, the little bulb, the pulpa there. I think we know who that is.
John B. Wells, call the wildcard line at 818-501-4109. The first time caller line is 818-501-4721. To talk toll free from east of the Rockies, call 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, toll free, call 800-618-8255. International callers may dial their in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, then dialing toll-free, 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM. Now, here's your host, John B. Wells.
Yes, indeed, and thank you very much. Pleasure to be with you tonight, and seriously, thanks for joining us. You heard the number, so if you want to ask a question, we're going to do some open lines with you later on, just you and me, but right now... We have Dan Johnson and Stephen Miller, and it's really nice talking with them about this NDAA thing on their site, which is peopleagainstndaa.com. There's a very interesting little thing about Facebook's going to quit using face recognition in Europe under pressure from growing privacy concerns. They decide to stop using the face recognition software in Europe. So all you have to do is squawk about it, but if you don't squawk about it, it won't get any attention. If the wheel doesn't squeak, well, why grease it? Okay? So if you would like to give us a call and get on the air, ask a question of Dan and or Stephen, please do. And we shall return for a nice long run to the bottom of the hour with our guest tonight. This is the one, the only, Coast to Coast AM.
550 KFYI.
Dan Johnson and Stephen Miller. What's the deal with this? I just came across a little piece of information that a three-judge panel was due to review the hold on the injunction, neutralization, the temporary neutralization of the injunction. But there's not a word about it anywhere else. I found one sentence. It's like, oh, it'll remain in effect until a three-judge panel reviews it. I think it's in the Second Circuit Court on the 28th, Friday. So, when do we actually find out what happens there?
Yeah, they do on purpose. I'm sorry, go ahead,
Dave. Oh, yeah. I'm waiting for a word right now from Chandran Bolin, who's a lawsuit organizer there. But as far as I know, this decision will not be released yet. It's kind of like when Judge Catherine Forrest heard the case. She did not then release a decision on it. So this three-judge panel, I don't believe, is going to have their decision released for a little while, and I wouldn't exactly hold your breath based on the appeals court's recent action.
You know, with that article on your website, peopleagainstndaa.com, what do you suspect was done to levy enough pressure against Facebook in Europe for them to stop using that facial recognition software? You know, the government just rolled out $1 billion worth of facial recognition apparatus across the country. Reported that a week or 10 days ago. So, how did they stop it, and how can we adopt European practices for stopping it here? Because I don't like it. I don't want that. What was it? Minority Report. You walk into a store in the mall and.
Yep.
And it's like, hello, Mr. Yamamoto.
Well, you said it very adequately earlier, John. Your way with words is amazing. The problem with Americans is they're too quick to comply. Just like the TSA at the airport. Just say, no, I'm not doing this. And if there's enough uploaders, I'm not doing this. I'm not even going to fly anymore. And that's what happened in Europe. And that has a lot of power within consumerism and the GDP. If the GDP starts suffering, and Lord forbid, Queen Beatrix of the Netherlands start suffering, take those down. And that's what's going on. You're exactly right, John, when you ordered it earlier, you know.
Well, you know, you said it. Did you happen to see the creepy TSA freeze and don't move video?
Oh, yeah, sure. That's great.
For those of you who have not seen this guy goes, just stay where you are, you know, in that lawman tone of voice, just stay where you are. And all these people just stop, and they're looking around like, what?
Yeah.
And they hold them there for 4 or 5 seconds and go, okay, you're okay. And they start moving around again like a bunch of bloody robots.
Well, actually, they have, at the ticket machines, they have that exact same warning at those ticket machines, at the electronic ticket machines, because Jeff Lewis, our legal counsel, and Patriot Coalition at theintolerableacts.org, he actually had that happen to him. The machine said, freeze, don't move, an agent will be with you shortly. And
it's a bit strong.
Got a couple agents come out of the woodwork, and he gets to talk to him for a little while on why he was buying a ticket and flying out the same day. So, they actually have those. And I thought that was really interesting that you brought that up.
Yeah, what if they put Tommy Lee Jones's voice on it out of the future where it goes, get down on your knees. You know, it's the little bit kiosk is screaming at you. I suppose that's next, you know?
Well, it'll say eyeball number 98210, get down on your knees.
And then it'll go, do you want to get shot, eyeball number? Oh, my God. Well,
your food benefits have been discarded. Your food benefits have been stopped.
Your work credits have been canceled.
Yeah, that's better. Exactly.
Return at once by magneto-leviton one-way tram to, let's see what we call it, Bloomberg Gulag, which will be located on the East Coast. Agenda 21 will have kicked in all over the place, so there's no constitution there. It's little concrete cubicles for all. Everyone is equal, and you get 150 to 350 square feet. You know that. You know that's what he's talking about.
No, absolutely no big gulp.
No. And lock up that baby formula.
Yeah.
If anybody out there doesn't know what we're talking about, Mayor Bloomberg told the hospitals over there, lock up the baby formula. We need more women breastfeeding. Okay. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah.
Yep, that's mayor's business.
Yeah, oh my lord.
Okay, well look, clearly it is to the audience. This is not a structured interview. This is just conversation stuff. So just take it anywhere that you want to go. You want to talk about the 19 reasons the government's turning us into a big stupid surveillance grid? If the NDA really has anything to do with terrorism, just talk about whatever you want. I'll roll with
you.
Okay,
well...
Go ahead.
I got something real quick, Dan. As far as the surveillance, a lot of people are waking up to it. They don't have a clue. There's stuff in their house surveilling them in the cell phone. They don't have a clue. The majority, 95%. But let's get to the juxtaposition here, and that being forces that are coming to an end, and they know it. So this is the good news. This is the hope, because everybody goes, oh, it's just going to get worse, and we're going to have this draconian, tyrannical police state, which we already have that. But it's coming to an end. There's a wall. I can see the wall. And they know it. They see the wall. They can see it clearer than us. They're up in a high tower drinking, expensive whatever. That's the hope. That's the good part. This isn't sustainable, this tyrannical behavior, these lies. I know a handful of judges right here in Michigan, and they're not into any of this stuff. I mean, unfortunately, they signed with the bar, which stands for British Accredited Register, okay? But when they were young and they did that, they didn't realize they were getting in bed with literally the devil, and that they've woken up. And I'm not going to mention their names because they would be mad at me. I lived with Justice Breland's a good name. He passed away. He wouldn't mind me mentioning his name. I lived with his son and that's Congressman Breland, and I learned a lot of law from them. But these guys knew, and the ones in power now around Wayne County, I'd say the majority of them know that this is very wrong. They never planned on getting involved once they figured out what was going on. As they got older, they were probably Dan's age in college and probably graduated a couple years later and had their bar, credentials probably by the time they're 28. And by then, it's too late to turn around because you're in debt and your parents go, no, you ought to be a lawyer now, Doesn't matter if it's against the Constitution. So you're saying, you're taking an oath to the Bar Association. It has nothing to do with America or the Constitution. And at the same time, you're taking an oath to uphold the Constitution. The oxymoron from you know where. And most of them have woken up to it because they realize this isn't right, There's no victims here. There's no victims. 98% of the people in prison in America did nothing wrong. They didn't hurt anybody. They might have been in possession of a substance, which isn't unconstitutional. They're allowed to pursue happiness, etc. You guys know the Constitution. So they didn't break any laws. There's no victims, damaged parties, corpus electi, anything. This is statutory police law of the Queen of England. And so when they lost the war, okay, when the Brits came over here, they said, well, it's only 1812 or whatever. We'll get them back. And they did. They overtook the banking system, which is maritime law, which is the law of the sea, law of water, fictitious. Then through the Maternity Act, I'm speaking too fast, just scream, but through the Maternity Act, they gave us all a birth certificate. So now we're products of maritime admiralty corporate law, fictitious law. So this is how they can give us tickets and do all this evil stuff and act like they have subject matter jurisdiction where they actually have zero jurisdiction. So they trick you into making pleas and entering into contracts, and it's all fraud.
Mm-hmm. Well, I understand it's a big deal. You need to be careful whether the flag, the United States, the American flag in the courtroom, has gold fringe around it or not.
Right, exactly, John.
And most people don't know this. I mean, you hear this stuff and you go, "This no, you're dreaming. That's nonsense. That's just a different kind of flag. It's like new." If you want to, Stephen, if you want to give us some details on that flag thing, it'd be interesting.
Right, okay, well, in America, the United States, not the corporation, but we had a civil flag at one time. If you pull up John F. Kennedy's grave site, where he was buried, you'll see the American flag. It's called the American Civil, C-I-V-I-L, Civil flag, okay? It's the flag we're supposed to have in our front yard and on our bumper, but for some reason we don't. And it's not your fault or my fault or the kid's fault. It's because somebody who has very dark reasons wanted to take away our civil common law and interject maritime admiralty law. So what flag is everybody flying? They say, oh, it's Old Glory. It's like, well, you can call it whatever you want, but it's in law, that's called a Title IV battle flag, okay? That all the Americans fly. We'll get to the courtroom in a minute. But, so, you drive by your neighbor's house, state flag pole, that's a Title IV battle flag. That's designated for warships. Basically, it was for the Coast Guard. It's basically for warships only and military installations. So why are people flying it over their homes? You're giving the military and the government jurisdiction over your property. And they don't even know it. And then you go into the courtroom.
That's technically absolutely true.
Yeah, and like John said, because John knows about this stuff, you know, coast to coast guy, and you see the gold fringe on the flag, that's a British Admiralty flag. People don't realize that. So you're under Admiralty law. Admiralty is the technology they use. That's the cops, the bailiffs with the gun and the taser and the tear gas. That's the Admiralty technology that's being used physically to enforce fictitious law, and that's how it basically works in a nutshell. So they're using Admiralty guns to enforce fictitious, you know, your Title IV DC flag. As the DC Act, people don't understand that the District of Columbia is not even part of the United States. It's the reason the United States never had a president as a country. We were people of the states united. If you read the Constitution, which most of us don't anymore, and I'm guilty of it myself. I have it on my cell phone and on my computer, but it says the people, okay, the people have a right to bear arms. The people have this. It says nothing about citizens, does it?
Mm.
What do they ask? When you go to court, what do they ask you? Are you a citizen of the state of Michigan or Indiana? And you say, yeah. Well, you just expatriated yourself, and now they've got you. And it's all a big fraud. It's a joke. And people don't know it. And they go in every day, and they raise their right hand and say, I'm a citizen. You just expatriated yourself as a people. So it's sad. I'm trying to educate as many people as I can. Because if you know the system, it doesn't work good, because they threaten you, and they're mean to you, and you know, but it does work. Because the majority will never learn it. That's the bad part. The good news, the remedy, if you will, is it's all coming to a bloody end, as John would say. It's all coming to an end. I'm not saying that in a mean way or with any violent connotations. I'm saying it in a way of it's coming to an end. All this tyranny and this cutthroat system of capitalism, which, you know, it's just gotten out of control, where you're selling things at 500% markup. They're ripping off the poor kid from McDonald's. It's all coming to an end. And in a lot of ways, it's good. Because all these tyrannical people, historically, these corporate fascists, and that's what they are, Rockefeller, name them all. You know, and then you have Brzezinski working for him, a science advisor, how they kill us all. Historically, they all implode under their own arrogance, because they create laws that are so draconian that pretty soon the third door gets knocked down and nobody needs a warrant to arrest them.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah,
it happens every time. Hitler went overboard. A lot of people understand. Hitler was financed by England and by the Pope and a lot of American corporations that were fascist.
And they did business with them throughout the war.
Oh, absolutely.
And when he got out of control and started bombing the you-know-what out of Britain, woman Churchill calls and says, hey, you know, the little monster we created is out of control. So that's, of course, when we pulled off the false flag in Hawaii and to get all us dummies to say, yeah, go to war, you know.
You know, maybe what's happening here, everybody was hoping for a, you know, I hate to just beat the same horse, the poor horse. It's glue already, you know. It's not even really shaped like a horse anymore. But, you know, everybody's been hoping for something. We have been hoping. That's a new word, guys. I won't use it again, though.
One time only.
Just like a Jimmy Page guitar lick. You better be recording it because you're not going to hear it twice. People have been hoping for an awakening. You know, you could just feel it, and you talk to people, and they sense something's wrong. They may not have the slightest idea what we're talking about. We talk about the NDAA, but they're just picking up that hive vibe. And so, do you believe that it's just the old paradigm? We've always done business this way. It's just so much easier to rat everybody out. How much time we got, Dan? 2 minutes. Okay, thank you, sir. It's so easy to rat people out, but the thing about it is, it's being done, and still nobody's doing about it. It says almost half of all Americans support domestic surveillance drones. I mean, how is such a thing possible, you know? That's like being accused of stealing something when you didn't. It's not like, there's our friendly neighborhood drone making sure we're safe. Like, really? Well, you know, it's also taking pictures of the old lady sunning herself in her bikini in the backyard. I don't think I approve of that. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, who are these guys?
Well, where's the propaganda? Because, I mean, I've heard something similar to that, John, but I couldn't figure out where they're getting these numbers, or because I don't believe that's true. I think it's just like 1939 Berlin. I think it's propaganda. But, I mean, what do you think? I mean,
yeah.
And it definitely is happening, but there's also a wide coalition against this police state, this absolute police state mentality. Obviously, the NDAA enforcing military law on American soil is the forefront and the spear of the police state that is heading directly toward, like a dagger toward America's heart. But there's also a wide coalition fighting it, and it takes different people to take care of different areas. For example, I know you've had Stuart Rhodes from Oathkeepers on this program, oathkeepers.org, and several other people as well, including Anthony Antonello, anthonyantonello.com, confronts politicians on NDAA to show their ignorance.
All right, we're going to have to take one of our proverbial breaks, but we'll come back. This is just entirely too much fun because it's Coast to Coast AM.
With Election Day just 38 days off, many of the latest polls show President Obama leading Mitt Romney. Some analysts believe those surveys are skewed. Fox's Mike Emanuel reports. Former Clinton pollster and strategist Dick Morris says he's not sure polls this year are making accurate assumptions.
What's going on now is these polls are assuming that you have the same high level of African-American, Latino, and young people vote in 2012 that you had in 2008.
The State Department says more non-military help is on its way to aid Syrian rebels.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton announcing at the Friends of Syria meeting today that the U.S. will give $15 million more in non-lethal support to the Syrian rebels, who are trying to topple the regime of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad.
Fox News Radio's Courtney Keeley. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Card line at 818-501-4109. The first time caller line is 818-501-4721. To talk toll free from east of the Rockies, call 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies toll free, call 800-618-8255. International callers may dial their in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, then dialing toll free, 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM. Now, here's your host, John B. Wells.
Well, thank you very much. Has anybody ever played a guitar sweeter ever? I'll tell you what, he is something else. Mark Knopfler. I met him one time. He's a nice guy. Dan Johnson and Stephen Miller are our guests tonight. We're talking about the NDAA and everything everything retro. Seems that things are more the way they were than they ever were before in some ways. Maybe it's the old paradigm going away. When we come back, we're going to come back with your call. So hopefully we'll talk with Anita. Please hold your position along with Tom and Glenn and the other folks on the line. And we will get to you just as soon as we come back, and we will here in just a minute. What about society? What about the money? Is it that the money's going away and they know it's going away? I mean, there are only like 12 zeros to the right of the 16 and actually some on top of that. That's an awful lot of money. And, well, if our economy collapses, then, well, some people are saying that they have no alternative but to turn to violence to meet their primitive needs like eating, stuff like that. And that came from a fellow who's one of 100,000 gang members. And that's just in Chicago. What about all that? What is this government so worried about? We will take calls, and we will carry on with Dan Johnson and Stephen Miller. Coast to Coast AM. We'll be right back. Dan Johnson and Stephen Miller, website peopleagainstndaa.com. Anita up in New York City has been so patient. Let's just bring her under the bridge and find out what she has on her mind. Anita, are you there?
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. Wonderful, wonderful, significant program. And since you guys have already touched on the insane, toxic, and sexually assaultive, I'm going to change my my question in the context of sharing some information and suggestions. First of all, Chris Hedges is one of the leaders of bringing this suit, and he was recently on Alex Jones. So, John, you would be perfect to. He's quite an articulate, very interesting chap, and he would. Could be brought on with you. And Charles Mayer, who's one of the lead attorneys, was also with Alex. And thank you so much for that program that Friday. And he should also be brought on because he gave some significant update around it was an administrative stay, and they're looking to reverse that as soon as possible. The other suggestion in line with, I think it was Stevens, comments about 98% of nonviolent prison population would be Michelle Alexander. The New Jim Crow is her book because African descended people, per the 13th Amendment, have been experienced this that now is widening for everyone as the privatization increases. But my question deals with let me put it like this. The Communicator, Saturday at 7, has, through their Blog Talk Radio Keys 107, Dr. James Fetzer, who heads 9/11 Scholars for Truth. I suggest everyone listen to that because the question came up around the psychology. And the question is how is it that we can see those three towers come down? Ragtag Muslims, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way with box cutters, doesn't have that technology. So the question is how is it that we can move forward with all the incremental police state measures if we don't deal with the hoax of September 11, 2001? And lastly, and I'll listen over the air, Bonnie Faulkner of Guns and Butters broadcast on BAI Pacifica in New York City at 9 a.m. Listen to Chris Bolin, B-O-L-L-Y-N, Solving 9/11, The Deception That Changed the World. So my question is, we must get a hold of the hoax and the big lie. If we don't destroy it, it will destroy us. And thank you so much. I'll listen over the air.
Oh.
Wow.
I need a drink of a whiskey. Hold on.
We're just sitting with 9/11, and she's right. Until the American people pull themselves up out of this ditch of denial and say, 9/11, we don't know why, the exact reasons, but we have a good clue of what's going on, thanks to architects and engineers and Dr. Judy Wood and I gave them all. Until we admit the fraud in 9/11, and it's brought about the all this draconian stuff and these unneeded wars and millions of dead people, until we can admit that, the only hope we have is guys like Dan Johnson, John B. Wells, George Norrie, George Knapp, these kind of guys. That's the only hope we've got.
Well, you know, it's so easy to go into a rant on this, but I mean, how much do you have to see? I mean, you got that video of BBC and their correspondent there talking about the Building 7 coming down before it even came down. You know, you got two different versions of the thing, one where the penthouse collapses and the official one that has no penthouse on it at all. And it's like...
Mm-hmm.
And you know... Go ahead.
And I could hear the frustration in this lady's voice. She had a lot to say. She could have went on for hours, like I kind of do. But here's where I go with logistics, and it's not off the subject matter. It's very on the subject matter. Because people are saying, well, and here's what I hear on alternative, a lot of alternative radio, which is pushing a lot of fear. And I'll go right to the point. Fear. You need this. You need a water filter. You need vitamins. That's probably all true. But the point is, America's military, America's government, if you will, FEMA, etc., they couldn't even handle Katrina, okay? They couldn't even disarm Afghanistan. They couldn't even disarm Iraq. These are third world tribal people that live in clay brick houses for the most part. And if they're so inept that they can't disarm these third world countries, they can't even take care of one city in Louisiana, but just a few counties. I don't really think, I think we need to quit pushing the fear agenda. Like somehow they're powerful enough to actually take away the guns of 175 million people. That's just,
I think you're right.
It's not logistically, militarily, or it's just not possible. I'm sorry.
And think about who's already awake. Okay, I hear a lot, this is a recurring theme in alternative media, and it's not a bad theme, but perhaps misdirected. And it says, we need to wake people up. We need to wake people up. Wake people up. What about the people who are already awake? We have tons of people awake. People who listen to this radio show, many of them, awake. But if you're awake, I liken it to you're standing on top of a hill. You're looking down at a person. The person is lit on fire. You're looking down at this person, and they don't know it. And you're saying, look, you're on fire. You're on fire. So the person notices they're on fire, and then 10 seconds later, they're burned.
Well,
so
why
isn't that person coming down from the hill who is awake
mm-hmm.
and joining with people who are already awake and going to put out that fire? You don't need to be staying on top of the hill screaming, you're on fire, you're on fire, you're on fire. There is at least 1 million people in the United States who are awake. Probably 2, and I would be willing to bet 3 million people. 3 million people who are awake in the United States. That is 1% of the population. You know how much we can do with 3 million people? A lot.
If we take people who are awake and turn
them into action-oriented awake people instead of just awake, you have the knowledge, you do something with it. And that's what's important to get, is people who are awake need to actually take action, whether it's through the Panda website and joining us, or whether it's through another organization. Taking action instead of being a keyboard warrior and sitting on your couch and telling other people to wake up.
Right. And you're being generous in your understatement, Dan, because it's more than 2 or 3 million. There's that many people listening right now. I would think 1 to 2%, which is, what would that be? About 330 million people. It has to be at least 5 or 6 million.
6.6, yeah.
Yeah. It's got to be a lot. I think, Dan's always very generous in his understatements because that's how he's a gentleman. But I think it's a lot more people than what anybody can imagine. And we are waking people up. And it's a painful, tedious, daily gut-wrenching process, and it's heartbreaking. I think about the children and the elderly people that come from a different era, like my parents, World War II people, and innocent people that don't understand a thing of what's going on. And that breaks my heart, and that's why I'm doing this, and that's why Dan, I believe, is and everybody like Dan, his heroes, like you, John, and George, and all our heroes are all behind this. We're doing that not for ourselves. We're doing it for the children and the elderly. I mean, that's just, and the hope is there, because if people really listen to what I say, I came out of the military, out of communications, I understand logistics, computer scientists, everything. It's not logistically possible to put tens of millions of people in concentration camps, okay? Let me give you an example, okay? Because a lot of people don't ever hear me out, because they're too busy listening to fear. Just to send Detroit, let's use Detroit for an example. My folks live there, retired Salvation Army officers. If you want to disarm Detroit, you send in a million troops. Okay, that means you need 10,000 enlisted officers, need another at least 20,000 sergeants to control the, private, I was going to use a bad word. How do you feed them? And where do they go to the bathroom? You got to think of logistics. Then you think about half tracks, Humvees, armored personnel carriers. That's just a million people, okay? And that's not enough, not even for Detroit. And they don't have those kind of numbers, much less the. They just can't do it. So that's the good news, you know.
Well, you know, you're really right about that. Although you have to wonder, they build the FEMA camps are clearly a real thing.
Yeah. But that's for after a disaster. And then they'll try to force people into them, and I think people will take it.
Let me ask you something. Let's go. Now, I don't want to pull you out on the clothesline. If you don't want to go, it's okay. Because I always give you the option on something like this. But it was very disturbing to see that young man who was like, "No, I've never killed anybody, but you know, if I had a gun in my possession and felt the need to do it, then yeah, I'd do it because we have to do what." What about the hundreds of thousands of people who feel they have no alternative other than violence to just get by? I mean, how do you bring them back in the fold? Are they rehabilitatable, or do we just have to sort of...
I mean, realistically, I served in the military, the law enforcement in Florida. I did some work for the feds, too. No, I mean, you got to be a little bit realistic. And no, there's going to be a lot of violence and a lot of bloodshed and a lot of really bad stuff happening. There's just no way around it. But the only thing you can do is not participate. Stay home. And when the cities are in chaos and there's fires, don't be around it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and you're right. But one thing you can do to mitigate it is this excellent word that Thomas Jefferson used in the Kentucky Revolution. Called nullify. This is taking your local government, and this is the approach Panda uses to stop NDAA, is taking your local government and having them exercise, especially your counties or your sovereign states, and having them exercise their power to nullify an unconstitutional federal law. And with this nullification, you bring a community together. When communities are able to operate on their own without outside influence, then what you have done is you have protected that community.
Right.
And part of that is nullifying NDAA, using the county sheriff to enforce that. Keep that enforcement in the community. Buying locally grown food. Keep your food in the community. You little communities, and I hate this analogy, I can't think of any better one, like terror cells, since the Department of Homeland Security thinks we're all terrorists now, especially if we believe in the radical Constitution. But why do terror cells work so well? Because they're separate from each other. Communities will work well that way, and that's a way to mitigate what he's talking about, the violence and the riots in your community, is to nullify and bring your community together. How many of the listeners out there actually know their neighbors? And
right.
Could pull their neighbors together in a disaster.
Right.
That's important, getting those little cliques of people pulling together, and you can mitigate the effect that whatever is coming will have on you and your community.
And if I may back you up, Dan, I have a good friend that's a state trooper. I sold him a piano. He lives way up in far northern Michigan now for obvious reasons. He backed up just what you just said. He's about 66, I think, now. He said, you know what? Your best security is your neighbors in your neighborhood. And if you can put them together as a unit, almost nothing can penetrate you because there's somebody always watching and there's somebody protecting the children and the women and the elderly. You know, but until everybody comes together in these communities in Michigan, which they're starting to do, a neighborhood watch, they call it, it's becoming real popular, then you can mitigate, like you said. Now, then the gangs will stay within their little territorial areas and just burn down their own Kentucky Fried Chicken or McDonald's or Walmart or whatever they want to burn down. And hopefully your kids and your wife and your mom and dad are miles away in a safe neighborhood watch. I second the motion on that one.
You know, I think you're the only one who's ever said they couldn't even work it out for New Orleans after Katrina. How are they going to throw millions of people into prisons?
They're not.
You know, that's a pretty good point, you know?
Yeah.
There was a story on earlier about the, you know, rival gangs, you know, Latinos against the African-Americans out there in California, and the cops just sat it out. 911 put people on hold. Couldn't get any cops there at all. So,
right,
I don't know, maybe.
Yeah. And that's now, John. I mean, I've gotten in my car and driven to, quote-unquote, you know, Federal Emergency Management Agency, free location, emergency, whatever you want to call camp. And I think they're really a fear propaganda operation because most of the ones I went and visited that are on the map, I'm sorry, I can't imagine. And I think it's there for its propaganda purpose, but where is the logistics and the infrastructure going to come in to actually pull it off? They couldn't even feed the people, like you said, Katrina, reiterating, that they couldn't even feed the people, provide them proper places to use the bathroom. They couldn't provide anything. It was a complete bloody joke.
Yeah, how about inside the Superdome there? People were getting rubbed out and raped and everything else in there. They didn't have enough people in there to...
Yeah.
The way, and you guys are right in the fact that they probably couldn't pull it off. The thing to remember, and no, I'm not trying to induce any fear, but the thing to remember is be realistic. If you are at a game show, and this happens to people all the time, the host will say, double or nothing. You double your money now or you walk away with nothing. You can do it or you can walk away with this little amount of cash you already got. A lot of people will double or nothing. They probably have no chance of ever getting that double cash, but they're still going to try.
Right.
And these preparations that they put together, being realistic,
okay,
although they can't pull it off, they're still going to try.
That's a good point. Now, listen, I don't pretend to have the power to control your weekend, but I wouldn't mind holding you over so we can take some more calls with people than you. Would you mind? Because if you guys can hang around for a while, it would be all right with me. It would be all right with the Coast audience.
Awesome.
All right, cool. Well, we'll be back. We'll take some more of your calls, field a few questions, and then when Dan and Steven feel like cutting out, we'll let them cut out. This is the one, the only, Coast to Coast AM, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Always Fox News Radio. I'm Steve Knight. The presidential campaigns kick into an even higher gear next week.
The first general election debate is Wednesday. Mitt Romney staying off the campaign trail this weekend to prepare.
I think that a few people have a chance to understand where we actually stand, as opposed to where our opposition thinks we stand.
Romney previewing the debate to reporters aboard his campaign plane. President Obama took time to practice yesterday ahead of a trio of fundraisers here in D.C.
The question right now is whose plan is going to keep us moving forward? That's what I
asked. Wednesday's debate will focus on the economy. In Washington, Jared Halpern, Fox News Radio.
Election officials in...
Well, thank you very much. A pleasure to be in with you tonight. Sitting in for ship captain George Norrie as we cloak and waft our way through the night. Friday night is typically an open lines night, but I just can't resist. You know what I mean? But best of both worlds. Everybody hold your position who are on the lines, and we will get to you as we continue our conversation with Dan Johnson and Stephen Miller here on Coast to Coast AM. Say, I have a question for you. You're going to be traveling over the holiday season, maybe. You need a little small radio to take with you. I take a little radio with me, packed with fresh batteries, everywhere I go, you know, just in case. Well, if you answered yes to that query, then you need to call C Crane at 800-522-8863 and order the small travel size radio like their CC SW Pocket.
50 KFYI.
Thank you. tonight, part one of the Zombie Jombie weekend. That means by Monday I'll definitely be a zombie because, you know, you do this on Saturday night, and that's fine if you're awake during the show. Long and the short of it is, I feel your pain because I'm not normally up at this hour either. My ghost insider won't do me any good. Anyway, look, let's go. You know what I'm talking about. Dan Johnson and Stephen Miller have graciously accepted an invitation to stay around for a little bit longer, take some more of your calls. So let's talk to Tom in Mississippi, east of the Rockies. Definitely, Tom, are you still there? And thanks for holding if you are.
I'm still here. I'd be here until 369 and a half. I just love listening to you, John. My daddy was in World War II, and I was in them. All right. You know, what the heck have we fought for if this is what we're getting right now? I mean, you know, I see all my freedoms and my friends' freedoms and all of the rest of them that's ever fought for it and people that haven't. They're getting their freedoms taken away from them. And a quick shout out to Art and all the rest of ABs. Sorry about that. I was going to do that the first time.
No, that's all right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate you.
I do serving, Tom, and you're our hero, dude. Thank you.
I agree. The reason that we still fight is because people like you fought for our freedoms, and now we're losing them. And everyone who died on the streets, Germany, and in the beaches of Germany and the beaches of Japan, that death is very, very sacred to us. And those who even fought and came back, even with a purple heart, that is very sacred to us. And we're fighting to restore those freedoms that the veterans brought to America and to honor those veterans' sacrifice. So I thank you for serving as well.
Again, of that, I didn't serve in battle, but when I think of the guys that did, like Tom, that just called in, and my heart breaks. And it's not a matter of, was the war right? Was the war not right? It's not a matter of that. It's a matter of these were young kids that did what they thought was morally correct for their country, their mom and dad. And that's, you can't be any bigger of a hero. It doesn't matter if the politicians are right or not. That's irrelevant. And what's relevant is all these heroes did what they thought was right in their heart. Now, the politicians failed you, yes. No doubt about that.
Well, there's a special spot in Hades for them. You know.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah.
You know what I was going to ask both of you, and really I was kind of pointing it toward Dan, because, Stephen, you and I are around the same demographic, so... I mean, I carried a 1A draft card. They just never called me. They changed the card for a 1H later, but no S2 student deferment, none of that. I was just primed and ready to go. Where are the anti-war protests? I've got a lot to learn about all of this, and there is a lot to learn about this, but... We had a draft back then, so you're drafting people into an undeclared war. Now we've got a volunteer army, and they're stretched. I mean, they're great. I mean, the U.S. military forces are unsurpassed. Everybody knows it. But I think we're spreading ourselves maybe a little bit thin. So I guess my question is, and I've said before in the air, you know, I do not want them used as mercenaries. If they're volunteers and they're being paid... and the wars are undeclared, that doesn't look good to me. Now, it may be okay with other people, and even technically and quite literally it may be all right, but I don't think so. So, where are the anti-war protests? Where is the pushing back against big government? Where is this pushing back against a increasingly, well, shall we say, harsh police state? Where are these protests? Where is everybody?
They're manipulating us, John. All these cell phone towers people see... Those aren't just for my Sprint cell phone I'm talking about. This makes the public complacent. This high technology called Lily Wave, L-I-L-Y, I believe. It might be two L's, but don't quote me on that. They look up Lily Wave. And this is how they keep the public almost docile, like under electronic control. Do you have anything to expand on that, Dan, that you might have...
Well,
I think there is a rising up against this type of police state. You had both the Tea Party and the Occupy movement. And both, if you trace them back, were started by people who wanted liberty and who were concerned that our freedoms were being taken away. If you read both the original Tea Party Declaration and the original Declaration of the New York City General Assembly of Occupy Wall Street, both expressed many of the same tenets, talking about being against the police state. So there is an uprising, but people are not joining that uprising in as large a numbers because of the mainstream media and the excellent job, and along with the radio waves that you mentioned, the excellent job that mainstream media has done brainwashing the American populace so that if there is a resistance, most of it is underground.
Exactly.
Interesting. Very interesting. Well, that's European style, isn't it?
Yeah, very well put. Yeah.
You know, well, they, I wonder how do you form a privacy group so that you can object to things like the facial recognition that Facebook it was using in Europe, but they're discontinuing. How do you do it? I mean, what are the physical steps you take to start a privacy advocacy group?
Like Dan, okay, go ahead, Dan.
I mean, seriously, how do you do it?
I mean, it's not much different than starting Panda, which is basically, in essence, it was beating my head against the brick wall hard enough that the brick wall broke and deciding that my skull wasn't going to break first. It is dedicating all of your time. It is trial and error. It is connecting with other organizations. And ours is not necessarily a privacy advocacy group, I would say, but more of a we want your rights back advocacy group, and they're all formed the same way. You have a dream, you have a vision. You go out and you make that vision happen, and you don't let anybody tell you that you're wrong, and you don't let anybody stop you from doing it. If anything, you use them as the catalyst for doing so.
Gotcha.
And if I may expand on what Dan said, now what I've been personally doing, I don't quite have the catalyst he's got, but I ride my bike every day. I live in a small town, relatively middle of Michigan. And I go to every restaurant, everybody I see, and I give them a little piece of paper. You ever heard of the NDAA, Military Commissions Act? And I name them as many as I can. But no, I said, what is it? I briefly explain it because they're busy or whatever. They're walking the dog. And they say, this is BS. I go, yeah, well, I know. I'm trying to protect your rights. Because if you don't know about it, how can you defend your family? Well, this is BS. And of course, he owns a liquor store. So she puts up a flyer, and this is what I've been doing in a town of about 9,000 people. And if we can all do the same thing, imagine in even 3 months what would happen.
Yeah, the major population the majority of the population is not located in these big cities. It's spread out. You know, it's the flyover areas. That's where the bulk of the population is. I mean, the map will show you that.
Exactly.
And we got the net, we got phones, we have all of that, but the object is to get someone to actually move on it. Let's talk to Glenn. He's a first-time caller in Massachusetts. I hope he is still on the line. If you are, Glenn, come on board.
Yes, I am, sir.
Good to talk to you.
Thank you, John. Thank you, JNSD, for staying on longer.
No problem.
I really find it interesting that you guys have this website, and I hit it already, but I'm very concerned about every time I hit a website like yours, it's going to be tracked. Every time I make a phone call, hardline, cell phone, and I'm not wearing a tinfoil hat, but I really think you say certain words like terrorist or this and that they're going to be tracked. And what are your thoughts on that?
You're right. Eight different agencies are listening right this minute. My girlfriend was in Afghanistan, a lieutenant colonel, Army, a National Guard. Eight different agencies are listening right this very minute. But I don't want you to be afraid, because that's what they want, because they're not militarily, logistically, or in numbers powerful enough to ever affect you. You're a small potato. I'm a small potato. John B. Wells, he's with too many people around him. They're afraid. They're human. They just have a different agenda in life. And they think they're right. They don't think they're doing anything wrong. They think we're wrong, but they're far outnumbered, and they're human. They're afraid. So, yeah, they're listening to you. They know you went to Dan's website. You know, you might go to coast. But they're not going to. It just goes in the computer. There's no humans. See, I was in the military. There's no humans doing this. There's humans.
I live in Massachusetts where you have to go through hoops to get license to carry. And then they track what you buy for ammunition. So, you know, I reload now. I don't want even them to know how many rounds.
Well, think about two things. Number one. If people listen into your conversation, if there is the chance that there's a human listening into your conversation, then, and based on a lot of my sources, that eventually if it gets to a high enough level, a human will listen to your conversation, because machines can only do so much. But if, in fact, a human is listening into your conversation, then what harm can you cause? What good are you doing? If they're continually listening in to people of a liberty mindset, and you keep telling them, look, I know you're listening into the call. I do this all the time. Hey, I know NSA is listening into the call. Here, learn a little bit about liberty. You're on the inside, and you can do the best here. Brian from New American Media taught me that once. And the second thing to think about is Nazi Germany, and I know it's the elephant in the room when I was in speech and debate. They said that you never refer back to Hitler or Nazi Germany, but that's where we are today. They had terrorist watch lists, but there was no one on them. They would pick random people off of the street and say that they were on a terrorist watch list, and that's why they were searched, and that's why they were detained, but there was never, ever a watch list.
Really?
So the thing to think about is we have a terrorist watch list no one has ever seen. But the very fact that they say there's a watch list changes people's behavior and changes people's actions.
Here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, Glenn, thank you very much. How about Scott in Phoenix on the wild card line? Would you be there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Hey, Scott. Good to have
you. How are you doing, sir?
Doing all right, thank you.
My question tonight is about the Repatriation Act. And if I'm mistaken, I'd like you guys to clarify that for me. I believe that the Repatriation Act can take the citizenship of an American, which would then make them eligible for the maximum punishment of the NDAA. Can you guys speak to that, please?
I can touch on the law. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And if you want to expand on this, then from a law perspective, I'm definitely not a lawyer, so feel free to. You're talking about the Enemy Expatriation Act, EA. And that act, there was a lot of what Stephen was saying earlier, is there's a lot of hoopla, and there's a lot of not misinformation, but blowing out the fear, and just fear does sell. Especially in the world we live in now. But the thing to think about in the Expatriation Act is it was a bill that pretty much died in committee. And there have been worse bills introduced, I guarantee you, that have died in committee. But everyone made a big, huge deal out of it and still continues to make a deal out of it. So the Enemy Expatriation Act did not go into effect. By pretty much all odds, will not go into effect. However, it's not to discount because that is the way that the country is heading. So does that kind of answer your question on like a fear of the Enemy Expatriation Act there?
That's what I wanted for you to clarify. I thought it was called the Repatriation Act. So maybe I just had it wrong to begin with. You were talking about the Enemy Expatriation Act?
You are talking about the same bill I am. But it's the Expatriation Act, and yes, it would allow a person's citizenship to be taken, but think about this, and I don't want to cut it on Stephen's time.
No, you're fine.
Think about this. Who could hold
and does hold all the proof that you are an American citizen if you are in their court, the American government. Do they need an Enemy Expatriation Act to all of a sudden go, you know, we don't see you as a citizen here, Mr. Smith, and I don't see any record of you being a citizen of the United States. So we're going to prosecute you as an enemy prisoner of war because that's what your records show. Do they need an act like that? They don't need it.
Wow.
And to expand on that, what Dan just said, and this is not to be extrapolated as any kind of legal advice. Any retard can look this up in Black's Law Dictionary, to go, you know, study your statutes. In other words, it's public information, it's not private. And I'm not telling you how to carry out anything. I'm just telling you the facts. So you have all these acts, either in place or, you know, some judges are saying, well, we're not going to let this happen right now. Well, there's a bunch of other lawyers filing 20 motions at once trying to slow them down. That's what's happening. But anyway, back to the point. This has been going on for years. 1933, now is 80 years or whatever. I'm sorry. But anyway, when you're brought into a courtroom, you're already expatriated. As soon as you raise your right hand, you're no longer a U.S. quote-unquote U.S. citizen. And this is where they're fooling everybody. It's a magic act. So they're expatriating you as soon as you come in the courtroom, and they've been doing that for decades. So now you're expatriated under Title 50, Section 23, United States Code. You're expatriated under the United States Court Injustices under the Trading with the Enemy Act. You're no longer a citizen. And you don't want to claim to be a citizen anyway. I personally wouldn't claim to be a citizen. I'm a people of the States United, and that's where you separate the two identities. So they're already doing that, and they've been doing it for decades. As soon as you go in, you're expatriated, you're from another country, and they can take you to anywhere they want, do whatever they want with you, and the lawyer works for them. Remember that. The attorneys work for these guys. So that's really what's going on, you know, in a nutshell.
Okay. All right, then. I'll tell you what, when I hear this stuff, you know, of course it's my part to like keep it rolling here a little bit, but you really get me thinking about this stuff. I'll tell you what let's do. Let's get to a few more callers here. I don't want to bring one on right at this moment because you'll only have a few seconds before we have to take another little break. So, Yeah, when we come back, why don't we talk about some preparation? Why don't we talk about a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel? And maybe even an idea of a timetable of how long you gentlemen think it may take before this intensifies to the unbearable point, which would also be the tipping point, at which point the citizenry would take over and do that nullify thing that we were talking about earlier. Yeah?
Yep.
Okay. All right, we'll carry on with Dan Johnson and Stephen Miller. The website is peopleagainstndaa.com, and type it in carefully or you'll wind up doing it twice, like I did. This is the one and only Coast to Coast AM.
The official website of Coast to Coast AM is coasttocoastam.com. Log on now. At 818-501-4109. The first-time caller is Coast to Coast AM. Now, here's your host, John B. Wells.
Talking with Dan Johnson and Stephen Miller tonight about the NDAA and all those things that infringe upon our freedom, and it's a real thing. It's no longer conspiracy theory. It's an actual conspiracy. Should always make it a point to stop by the Coast to Coast AM website, coasttocoastam.com. Well, we have featured there Mars, ancient stream bed, the rocks that can only be formed by water flowing over them. They're nice, round, polished little numbers. Look like the ones you'd have in your rock garden there. Heaven's Gate Cat. Coming to the night sky in the news, the comet 15 times brighter than the moon, driverless cars, threatening to reshape automobiles and the transit system. A woman grows a new ear on her arm, has it attached to her head, but no, it's true. Paradox of hoaxes, source of monster black holes, energy jet identified. Wow, so stop by coasttocoastam.com every chance you get. Well, I mean, not every chance you get, but okay, every day. And we'll be back with Dan and Steven in just a moment. This is the one and only Coast. John B. and for ship captain George Norrie tonight as we chat with Dan and Steven. And why don't we just go right immediately, just for like right now, immediate moment, to wildcard line Rand in Maplewood, New Jersey. He's been holding for a while. Rand, are you still there? And if you are, come on board.
John B., I always like listening to you, and this is a really good show tonight.
You know,
Gandhi said, God is truth. And in light of that, how come it is that there's just so many lies coming out of our government, not just about NDAA, but, I mean, just like on a weekly basis, you know, and American people just line up like they're in some kind of Orwellian cattle call and just accept this nonsense that's coming over your television as truth. And just in the last, like, couple of weeks, you know, I mean, it's just like every week there's something new that you can't even really, you know, get into one thing too much because there's, you know, the very next week there's something new coming on and hitting you over the head with it. But like the last couple of weeks, we had this ridiculous situation in Libya with the ambassador was killed. And it was like, the minute their logic came out with, you know, it was this video. I mean, it was just like, you know, it's like, what kind of stupid idiots do they think we are? I mean, I knew that was garbage the minute I heard it. And now today, finally, you know, they're starting to, like, you know, come up with some other answers. And, you know, right before that, there was the ridiculous situation with the killing of Osama bin Laden. You know, they showed the picture of Hillary Clinton with her hand over her mouth in the room with, you know, Robert Gates and Obama and everybody. Here they are watching it live. You know, it was all lies. They weren't watching it live. You know, and then they said he dumped his body out in the ocean. What? They're going to tell us next he washed up on Gilligan's Island? You know,
say, that's a good one. Well, you know, the only thing that's more ridiculous than the story is the video itself. I don't know if you've seen this or not, but it's the dumbest thing you've ever seen. I mean, I challenge somebody to make a dumber film. It's so stupid, in fact, it looks like the government probably made it themselves. And more to the point, let's make a conspiracy theory right now. It's like you got your patsy already. You got a guy who's not even supposed to be on the internet. So a guy who's on probation and is not supposed to be on the net, not supposed to let anybody use a computer on the net on his behalf, unless he checks in with his probation officer, somehow puts this ridiculous film together that, I repeat, is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And it's been out since midsummer, supposedly. So here we go. Yes, the entire Middle East is on fire because of this video. Oh, that YouTube again. I mean, give me a break.
Well, you see,
I'm done.
It worked. Very well, because you have even Russia coming out and saying, I know recently they came out and said they wanted to censor YouTube. I'm not sure if they have actually taken it offline. Pakistan has taken YouTube down. Several other countries have taken YouTube down. So their goal to take YouTube out of those countries, if that was the goal, and considering the fact that he had been flipped, if you read Russia Today, they had an article on he was in trouble for PCP, and the government had flipped him, so he was working for the government on several occasions. If that was the case and they wanted censorship in those countries, it worked like a charm.
You know, somebody sent me an email that was like, you said that they should take that video down off of YouTube. What's the matter with you? Are you, like, against the First Amendment? It's like, no. That's why you should become a Coast Insider immediately so you can play it back. What I was saying was, since our government doesn't seem to have not only any qualms, but no qualm whatsoever about breaking the Constitution whenever they feel like they need to, Why would they leave this video up? I mean, where was the, well, we've got to take this video down for reasons of national security. This is fomenting, you know, unrest, and we just can't have this. It's like, I bet if they wanted to bad enough, it would have come off of there. And I mentioned you can't type certain words onto Facebook. It won't let you post the message. Firearms come to mind.
That's very well. I never thought about that until you just mentioned that, John. You're exactly.
Oh, I don't believe that for a minute.
I don't either. Yeah, that makes total sense. Like, scary sense.
No, I don't believe that you never thought of it.
No, I really didn't. It did. I mean, it didn't dawn on me until the way you just proposed it. It's like, you're right. I mean, if it was seriously a national security issue, with all their other draconian powers they're pulling out of the hat, yeah, they would just yank it. I think it's still available.
Well, it is. I looked at it today to see if it was still up. It's still up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about the future. You have the FBI recently released a memo saying that they expect there to be protests and unrest against that film in the United States. Well, as you two gentlemen, some of the more awake gentlemen in the entire country on this call know, or on this show know, is when they put in a memo like that, they'll try their best to make it true, even if it's not true in the first place. So you have in the New York subways, you have advertisements going up that are very racially offensive. And technically, a public subway should not have advertisements, but that's going in a different direction entirely, especially if they're advertising for or against a religion.
Right.
But point being, just as you said, why isn't it a national security issue? Let's get rid of these advertisements. Not that it should be, but why haven't they taken that tack if they've taken that tack with everything else?
Exactly.
Well, I'm looking at it right here. U.S. intelligence now says attack deliberate and organized. Well, duh. Like everybody just showed up with, RPKs and the good old RPG-7s, you know, that old stuff. They're pretty good now.
They
couldn't hit the ocean
They text each other the day before saying to their Facebook smileys, saying, bring your RPG tomorrow.
Yeah, everybody meet at the undisclosable location, the ambassador's house.
Yeah.
You know, and without going into a bunch of detail here, guys, because I don't want to get into anything could be construed as singling a group out, but it's like there appears to be reason for concern that this man was sent into a hot zone like that, and there were some things about him that are rumored to have attracted the attention of some of the more radical elements over there. Now, to me, this may be just another bit of the waterfall of disinformation, because it comes from everywhere. That's another thing. Let's talk about this for a minute, Dan and Steven. And that is, how do you discern, without a really big staff, what is what's real and what isn't? You know, for example, just what if the government did really put that video there? What if this thing was set up, you know, months ago, no big deal. We'll put a piece of video up there that's going to incense people, at least theoretically, and that'll be the pretext for this attack. I mean, how far in advance do you think these people really know about these things when the administration comes up with these lame excuses and the $70,000, you know, advertising campaign? Oh, the U.S. government had nothing to do with this film. We deplore it. We condemn it. We don't like it. We hate it. It's just...
Well, here's how I personally tell... If it's a staged event, if you will, or if it's something that just, you know, somebody went nuts and did something really bad.
Because that does happen.
Oh, you know, it happens all the time. But if it's something that's not staged, capital N-O-T, it won't make the news. It'll be in the local newspaper, like some kid, you know, shot his family and his neighbors, and it won't even make the mainstream news. If it's something that some big name was behind, I won't say which lettered agency or whatever, but it'll be on every news station for days. Days and days and days. And that's kind of how I can tell. I don't know, how do you feel about that?
Okay, what about that, Dan?
Well, he is right that you can look to see how big it gets blown out of proportion. And a few things on this. number one, often we only tell that these are false flags or that these are staged events in hindsight by looking at the facts afterwards. And number two, another way that I look at it is looking at trends. Okay? So we are trending toward a serious police state. Does what I'm seeing match that trend? And if it does match that trend, I tend to accept that as more fact than I would another thing. But the last part I would note on this is we have to really think, with all this information coming at us from left, right, and upside down, and all over the place, besides for the history book, or if one is writing a book, does it really matter that you can tell what a false flag is, or what disinformation is here, or what disinformation is there? Leave that to people who need to study it. Again, action. Does studying something is studying something that's happened in the past and that has effects on the future, is that interesting?
Of course. I get the point, yeah. In other words, they're making their agenda come to life. It doesn't really matter who's getting involved in delineating, was this, real or staged or... makes complete sense, man.
Okay. All right, good. Well, separating from the wheat from the chaff, that's the whole thing. It's the old raw intelligence is never unambiguous. It's always ambiguous. Let's take one from that wild town out there in the desert, Las Vegas, Anthony. That's way west of the Rockies, I think. Yeah, it is. I'm looking at the map right now. Anthony, are you there?
I'm here, John. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, thanks for hanging so long. Appreciate you.
No problem. What I just wanted to speak about is the fact is that this NDAA was overwhelmingly passed by Democrats and Republicans. I believe it was authored by Carl Levin, which is a Democrat senator, and John McCain, the person who was campaigning against Obama in 2008. Now, the problem with that is people are going to go to this upcoming election in November thinking that these candidates don't support this, and that's the fact is that they do. This government supports this Orwellian 1984 mass surveillance. And the only way to stop it is to stop voting for them.
Well, you got a point there. I think on both sides. I've said this many times. I'm alternately a Zionist, a Nazi, a left-winger, a hard-right nutcase, depending on what part of what sentence somebody hears. I don't trust either side. This latest revision of the NDAA was a completely bipartisan effort. And as you said, it was approved. Like, almost everybody approved it. So,
you make a very good broad point there, because people say, we're in such a gridlock in our nation. There's such gridlock. Nobody can agree on everything. So then, as you said, they all agree on mass surveillance. Well, if no one can agree on everything, explain to me how bills like NDAA, that was 93-7 in the Senate, and H.R. 347, which restricted the right to protest, that's the Federal Restricted Buildings and Grounds Act, how that passed through the Senate 97-0.
Is that the one where the Secret Service can arrest you? I'm sorry, is that the one where the Secret Service can arrest you even if you're in the vicinity and you don't even know there's a head of state in the area you can be detained?
That is absolutely correct.
Okay,
now,
sorry, go ahead.
Like I said, he makes a very good point there. They come together on these issues. No one can tell me that this Congress was not complicit in NDAA and is not bipartisan. In fact, they might as well just be one party, even Republicans or Republicrats, because of the way they are so easy to come together on bills like H.R. 347. No fanfare, no coverage, and no signing statement even. Slipped right through, and only 3 dissent out of 535 members. You make a very good point there, sir.
Yeah, and if you look at it, I mean, Congress is ceremonial, and they have been for a long time. It's all just there for looks on C-SPAN or whatever. They have zero power. They're under the authority of a dictator. And they have been since Bush. And I go back to Reagan when I was in the Army. And, and I voted for him. And I didn't really realize politics like Dan does. I was about Dan's age, 83. And I started waking up to it in the late 80s going, what? You know, because I read a lot. And then I understood what was going on. And Reagan, as much as I liked the guy at the time, he's the one that told the media, no more talking BS about the White House or me, or you carry the water for us or we pull your press pass. And that's a fact. You can look it up. Anyway, to cut a long story short, which is hard for me to do, when you look at the spectrum of what's going on, what's the grand conspiracy? Why would they do all this and pass this draconian one piece of legislation after another? And it's been going on for a long time. Why? Okay, and this goes to what is going on in the world. Look at the forest fires, the earthquakes, everything that's going on. It's almost cataclysmic, if you will. And they know this, okay? It goes in cycles. This goes to Brent Miller and who I've talked to, and another one is Brooks Agnew, very good. Can explain the science better than me. But, well, the owners of the world, if you want to call them that, that's what they feel they are, the Queen and everybody else. Well, they see this coming between war and pole shift and everything else. So do you think they're going to leave the gold up here on the surface with the indentured servants, us serfs? No, of course not. They're going to rake the gold and silver back in, cause a huge chaos so we're all confused so they can run. And that's what's really going on. And that's the good news, because they're going to all disappear and we can start all over fresh. And here's some really good news about radiation, which I can back this up scientifically. It can be negated. And it shows Congress is ceremonial. I mean, they have no power. They're a joke. They know who puts the butter on their English muffin, okay? They have the technology to negate radiation right now in 24 hours, and they're not using it. They won't sign the paperwork. You have to ask yourself why. Who's in control? Okay, so that's the good news, because once they're gone, they take all their buddies and go underground or whatever. We can take this technology, which is similar to boron, but it's on steroids, and that's the end of Fukushima and the other meltdowns that will happen. It can be negated in 24 hours, and they know this. It's a fact. Research A.C. Griffiths and follow his bibliography, people he worked with in World War II and stuff, and I'll tell you, this is a fact, a weighable, measurable fact. They can negate radioactive isotopes that are not doing it, so they want to depopulate people.
You guys are just too much fun. That was a very fast hour. Stick around with us for a little while. We got to take a hard break now with our guests tonight, Dan Johnson and Stephen Miller. The website, peopleagainstndaa.com. Check it out and stay with us, will you? This is Coast to Coast AM.
Call 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies, toll-free, call 800-618-8255. International Wells.
It's a delight to sit in with you on Friday night in the captain's chair in for George Norrie tonight. John Wells with you, and Dan Johnson and Stephen Miller are with us, and they're first-time guests, and we're having a nice time, and I can just hear the Emperor.
This rebellious rabble calling themselves constitutionalists will be no problem. We'll crush them and make them our slaves.
To which we respond, what? I don't think so. Light at the end of the tunnel. More of your calls coming soon. Stand by for our final hour of the Friday night edition of Coast to Coast AM.
Life has never been more vulnerable to solar flares. In his newest book, Solar Cataclysm, science journalist and best-selling author of Apocalypse 2012, Lawrence Joseph, traces the sun's behavior and its influence on Earth from the most recent ice age to the present. Solar Cataclysm is a bold new theory about the sun-Earth relationship, its role in history, and its potentially disastrous future. Available now wherever books and ebooks are sold.
At 50 KFYI.
Well, Dan and Steven, I guess you didn't really know when you picked up the phone that you were going to wind up sitting here for 4 hours, did you?
it's all good. Yeah.
Well, hanging with the best of people is never time wasted.
Well, you know, this is a noble pursuit. And, you know, I was making fun a while ago. I handled the gig with a little bit of levity, it seems, but, you know, not really. This is a profoundly important issue, and... there sure are a lot of jumpy people in the security services, so and all this ammunition being purchased, and all these drones flying all over the place, and you got Agenda 21 running concurrently with NDAA, and then Soros has got this thing. I can't call the name of it right at this moment. I'll look it up and qualify it here in a minute. I've mentioned it before, but it's basically a nice little infusion of socialism right at the local level, and most people have never heard of it, and we'll do an expose on that before long, but I mean, it's there are some people out there with a lot of money who are, again, just trying to concentrate their power. So that leads me to this question, which is, you must be tracking the global financial situation. And we see that there is actual, you know, stuff being set on fire in the streets in a couple of countries, Spain and Greece. There are people who are upset. And what does your crystal ball say about us and when?
Well, everything that's going on right now, I mean, according to my research, which is pretty intensive, there's some pretty very intelligent people, more so than myself. It's a ruse that's going on right now. So you got the global IMF, International Monetary Fund, in league with the UN and NATO and everybody else. They're all buddies. They know, and they're forcing people to accept, trying to force them to accept this one world order, new world order, however you wish to phrase it, and the International Monetary Fund's idea of, well, you know, we have to have a global currency. Well, we all know that Iceland, correct me if I'm wrong, they said no, you know, they kicked all that stuff out.
That's right.
But, yeah, okay, so I was right on that name, that country, yeah. So, and that's what's going on. And then you got Greece and, you know, Germany and, well, Germany, I love the Germans, okay? I'm not going back to World War II. But they were just listening to some idiot. Same way our countrymen are listening to idiots in Washington right now. But I'm talking about modern-day Germans. They're not putting up with it. They said, no, we're not going to work till we're 75 to pay for everybody's, you know, retirement in Greece. They retired 10 years earlier than us. But the world, thank God, is waking up, because Americans are a little bit behind the eight ball compared to Europe and China. China is totally in chaos right now. Let me explain something about World War III, because there's a lot of fear about that. China is not ready for a world war, and they won't be for several years. They don't have a good navy. They don't have a blue water navy to speak of. I hear it's propaganda. They have a couple of ships off the coast of California, et cetera, et cetera. This is just fear-mongering, okay?
Yes, preparing for a UFO assault, of all things.
Yeah. I would believe that much quicker than than China.
I'm telling you, I'm not gonna poo-poo any idea. I'm not gonna say what absolutely positively can never be a hit. You know what I mean?
I believe more so in the UFO than China, because I understand, the political science behind China. They have a propaganda army called the People's Liberation Army that can be taken out with a couple of tactical nukes in an F-16. So they're not even a threat. But they use that fear mantra against Americans. Like, we're going to be invaded. No, we're not. That's a lie. China doesn't have a decent navy. So that's a lie. There's no fear there. Our biggest fear right now should be Iran. Iran's hugely powerful. They could wipe out many of our ships over there. They fire so many. You would believe the power Iran has thanks to Russia.
Well, yeah, the Russians have been working on stuff for a long time, and they sell it, you know?
Yeah, and then they have Russia working over here on our military bases. The numbers are exaggerated and lied about. They say there's 20,000. Oh, it's crap. Excuse my language, I'm sorry.
I've heard worse, trust me.
Okay, but in reality, there's only handfuls of Russian troops, and they're breaking protocol, and that's a whole other show. But so it's actually pretty much all good news, as it sounds nutty, and all bad news for the Illuminati, the Bilderbergs, you know, all these big shot Rothschilds, and they name them all. It's bad news for them. They're coming to an end. But the beautiful part is that's the truth, okay? And it's provable and weighable and measurable. The scary part is there's any birthing, like Dan said earlier today when I talked to him, I think it was painful. And we're birthing into something new. And transmit. But right now, they're controlling us with the most basic human instinct, and that's fear. And that's their, that's a bigger weapon than anything they've got in the, you know, in their little bag of tricks is fear.
What you gonna say, Dan?
You're very right with there with control, and you're very right as well as the talking about the birthing is always painful. It's not
that
a matter.
That was your terminology.
I will say this on the record for sure, and you can quote me on this forever. It is not a matter of whether the American people will win against the tyranny. It's a matter of how long.
It's just when, It's when. And I don't think it's very far away. It's just my opinion. I don't think Barack Obama or Valerie, Jared, I don't think these Bolshevik communist people who really believe they're doing the right thing, you have to understand, they have children and families and houses and banks, Swiss bank accounts, and they think that's the way everybody is supposed to be, and then people like us, the ill-informed masses, should just, submit. And they think they're doing the right thing. If you actually met some of these people, they're actually nice people. This is going to blow your mind. The guy that just brought me dinner, he brought me dinner to my door. He's a retired TSA agent. Nicest person you've ever met. I'm not kidding. I do everything for him. But he's totally abjectly abhorred by what they're doing. In fact, he ended up quitting from some of the stuff he had to do. So, in other words, TSA is a bad thing. NSA is a bad thing. The guys at Fort Meade listening to us right now is a bad thing. But 80% of the people doing the work are just like you and I. They have a mom and a dad and a kid and a dog, and they're in the middle of it. And I'm just praying beyond hope. And it's going to happen. I'm just wishing it would speed up a little bit. I'm not getting any younger. I don't want to go to my grave. I don't want to go to my grave thinking that I failed the children and the elderly people.
Yeah, that'd be pretty tough one to chew, wouldn't it? We got an international call here. Is that Anil in Ontario?
Anil. Yes.
I got it wrong, man. I'm sorry. I thought it was very French. I thought he was Anil. You know, with an I.
No, it's okay. Thank you for taking my call. I've been very interested in this topic for some time, and I wanted to ask how the NDAA and how its relation is to NESARA, the National Economic Stabilization and Restoration Act, which was supposed to be implemented originally back on 9/11, and was, that was, many say it's a false flag, and that was what prevented it from being implemented. And as a result, it's this the NESARA Act that is supposed to bring back, our civil liberties to the American people and, of course, to the world, because it is the American, freedom that what the rest of the world strives for. Me being a Canadian, I fully understand our link between, Canadians and Americans are pretty much joined at the hip, and one can't do without the other. And, NDAA is a very scary thing for people if they really research it, but I mean, tonight's call has been very enlightening in that, we the people do have the power, and the fear-mongering is slowly, eventually going to not get anywhere in the people's minds as long as they awaken. The problem is not enough people are awakening, and I just want to know what, NESARA, its implementation is supposed to, change everything. Even the whole money system, the Federal Reserve System, and everything is going to just, fall by the wayside, and we might be finally free from this tyranny that's been taking place for, 200-300 years now, since 1700.
If I can say something about the money system?
Absolutely.
What's going to happen is, and this is going to happen by next spring, and this is based on you can Google this or whatever you call it, research it on the search engine. What they're going to do is the Federal Reserve, they're slowly going to, they're not going to abolish them, which would be a great thing, And I pray that Ron Paul gets in and does just that. But I just don't see it happening. I'm realistic. But I do, but they are going to phase it out. And they're going to go to a U.S. Treasury dollar. I've already seen banks already have it in their vaults. So it's a real thing.
And banks already have it in their vaults?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
They're prepared for the crash. But the bad thing is if you have $20,000 in the bank, which I don't, I'm pretty poor, but I'm just an example, hyperbole, if you will. If you have $20,000 in the bank with the U.S. Treasury dollar, you're going to find you only have $7,000 in the bank, and a jar of peanut butter is $12 if you can get it. That's the problem. And then they're going to have another currency, digi money, called the special drawing right. That's already done. It just hasn't been mailed out to everybody. Now, and at this point, the government we currently have will be all underground. They'll be gone. And we'll be struggling to make sure a bunch of guys like Dan Johnson and Ron Paul are president and vice president. That's what I'm hoping for.
I'll be Secretary of Defense.
That's fine by me.
In fact, I might even be Secretary of Offense.
Yeah, I'll even send you a free check.
I hope by the time that stuff happens, I might actually be old enough to hold an office.
Dude, I would vote for you in a New York minute and take my Texas time doing it.
Thanks. All right, you heard it. That's an endorsement. We'll be watching you, Dan. Okay? Hey, Wildcard John in Portland, you've been holding for a while. Are you still there?
I'm still here. Thanks for taking my call.
Excellent. Thanks for holding so long. Welcome.
Yeah, forgive me, I got a bad cough. They've been spraying us over here, you know.
What are they spraying you with? What are they spraying you with? We talking chemtrails here, or what are we talking? Uh-oh. He's gone.
They didn't like that cough.
I think they must have opened the Bombay doors and just dumped a bunch of it on him.
Hey, can I expand on the chemtrails real quick? Because this goes hand in hand with NDAA, the chemtrails. And I talked to A.C. Griffiths about this one night for hours until he hung up on me. But literally, he was tired. He's an old man. Older than me. The chemtrails, if you notice, because I live near Detroit, they're always over the major metropolitan areas. I mean, as far as, you know, en masse, huge. Why are they doing this? It's a missile defense system. Okay, and they know some will get through. Okay? And then and herein comes the NDAA. So, what they do is, the chemtrails, when they electrify the ionosphere with HARP, okay, the High Altitude Rural Research Program, when they fire up the ionosphere, high temperatures, well, no missiles can pass through it, so it destroys them. It will cause electromagnetic pulses, no electricity, but most of the populous centers are saved. Problem is, we're still going to lose 7 to 8, according to my inside sources, their, you know, kernels and stuff. So you're going to have tens of millions of people that are begging for food and shelter. And that's where FEMA comes in. That's where the NDAA comes in, because they don't need a warrant, to carry out these executive orders. And there's more to the chemtrails. I could go on for 4 hours. I've studied this since 89. I've studied chemtrails.
You know, I spoke with a pilot recently that he's flown all kinds of things, and he mentioned fuel dumping. And I thought, I don't think it's fuel dumping, not
that's
in patterns like that, you know.
That's a total BS.
Total it's not BS. Fuel dumping. Absolutely.
Well, it's aluminum sulfate, which is a salt, but it's aluminum, so it's a heavy metal, so it's making everybody sick, including us. If you got a blood test right now, you'd have heavy metals in you. The remedy for that is distilled water. I drink about a gallon and a half of water a day. And then there's different salts, which are the elixir of life. And you can study that through Santos Bonacci, one of my buddies I study law through. It gives you these elixirs of life. They are found in the Bible. The Bible does have some really good stuff in it. It's a great book. It's just that they preach it the wrong way. But back to the point at hand, I lost my train of thought. Help me, would you?
Happens to me all the time. Dan, you can jump in there if you want to.
I can't really touch on that too much. I mean, he's talking about there's obviously chemtrails are obviously trying to.
Oh, chemtrails! Thank you. Okay, so
in the air, you're welcome.
Yeah, I was getting into the chemical composition on the periodic table.
I'm hearing barium. I'm hearing aluminum oxide. All kinds of. Somebody's even alleged that there are biotics in it as well. But you know, there's been no blockbuster expose. You know.
Well, there's 750 patents, and they range from everything from rearranging our DNA to depopulation, the missile defense. Now the barium salt. It's called barium salt. Now that's for the radiation from Iraq, Fukushima, Chernobyl. It's called the Getter. Yeah, this is what they call it in the military. This is what they use to absorb radioactive isotopes. And that's a lion's share of most of the chemicals you're seeing. And then the aluminum, I can't think of the other one. I'm sorry, I'm tired. But that's the ones that are used for the missile defense. Because they want to save as much as they can. Now, the chemical weapons that they will do themselves, I believe. I don't think it will be our enemies, unquote. In other words, so they want the population centers pretty much emptied out to preserve, and then whatever the pole shift doesn't take out, and the coronal mass ejection, the Carrington event, if you will, the Queen of England, the Queen Beatrix of the Netherlands, and these power elites that claim ownership of the planet, well, they want their derivatives reimbursed. And yeah, I have to understand something. The BP oil disaster, which I worked on that, the Horizon project, as one of the advisors, and I told them it's not stoppable, and they got pissed at me and stuff. I said, let me explain something to you. And they hung up on me, and they threatened my life, and I ended up having to move back to Michigan from Florida. But I said, let me explain something to you. All the real estate from Florida all the way around the bend to Texas is financed through derivatives. And guess who that money goes to? The Queens, okay, and the Pope.
Dude, this is some extraordinarily heavy stuff. I mean, you actually got a dude out of me just then. All right. Listen, this is extraordinary little conversation that we're having with Dan and Steven, and we'll be back for our final segment in just a moment. This is Coast to Coast AM.
818-501-4109. The first time caller line is 818-501-4721. To talk toll free from east of the Rockies, call 800-825-5033. From west of the Rockies toll free, call 800-618-8255. International callers may dial their in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll free, 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM. Now, here's your host, John B. Wells.
Thanks, sir. I'm glad to be in with you tonight. Sitting in the captain's chair, and George Norrie just decided to take the evening off. And Lord knows he deserves it, because this is just the first half of the Zombie Jambi weekend. We're going to do Agenda 21 tomorrow, but right now, tomorrow night, rather. It will be tomorrow. It'll be day after. Never mind. we're going to continue with our final segment here. Dan Johnson, Stephen Miller. There's no possible way we could have gotten into all the stuff that we have gotten into without just keeping them with us for a while. And they were very gracious to accept the invitation. Just hang for the whole show. We got a few of your calls left to go. And some great callers tonight. And so let's get this last little break over with and get back into it. This is Coast to Coast AM. Semi, please. Well, here, Paul, east of the Rockies in Winchester, Virginia. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello, Dan.
Excellent. Thank you very much for calling.
Before I illustrate the couple points of where these various laws are coming from, I just want to point out that I saw on YouTube that there was a watchdog, a person that did a forensic on that that film that it was called the Innocence of Muslim.
Oh yeah.
And he traced it back to when it was written one title, and then he traced it back to when it changed titles, and when it changed titles, traced it back to a company called Stanley Consultants in Arlington, Virginia, and a client is the DOD and the State Department. Okay. So anyway,
that's a good one.
Yeah, I know. It's awesome. Anyway, I'm an architect, and I was in May in D.C. for a convention, and I was at a seminar that was taught by the ambassador to Finland, U.S. ambassador to Finland, and he was very just talking about sustainable energy with entities, and he was very empathetic and very. You know, he was quite passionate about it. So I took the liberty to talk to him after the seminar. And what I did is I said, okay, look, I don't mean to be accusations, but over 1,000 patents have been confiscated by the government. These are patents that just save us energy, that, 100 miles per hour or pounds miles per gallon carburetors. Water engines, etc. 32 families of inventors have been harassed. 5 of those inventors have either lost their lives or disappeared. He held up his hand and he said, I know what you're talking about. And I said, tell me that the United States isn't powerful enough to fight these entities. And he said, we're not. He said, don't look for the U.S. government to do anything with policy regarding energy. They'll talk about it, but we can't do it. We are not powerful enough. Those people are too dangerous. And that was
which
quite
people?
A well, apparently it's the energy cartel.
Wow.
And, this is coming from the U.S. ambassador to Finland. And he actually opened up and confirmed my client's suspicions that, they're not, it's not a conspiracy. It is real. And on the second point, the source of these laws is our corporations. And, John, I talked to you earlier, and I got caught up, but one entity that is putting together these laws for corporations is called ALEC. It's the American Legislative Executive Commission. And it was set up by the Koch brothers in the 80s, or actually in the 70s, and what it is they got high-powered lawyers. They meet every 6 months with corporation people and with legislators, and what they do is they set a few laws that are friendly to the corporations, and then they pass them on to legislators, and legislators put their name on it. And
gotcha.
Such laws are, for instance, the union busting laws in Wisconsin and Ohio, and also the laws that have to do with communication that have reduced our freedom.
Now, I got a quick question for you. Has this required a lot of study? You got a lot of information here. Are you data mining all the time? And if you are you passing this information along to people who will hopefully raise awareness about these things? Or are you keeping it all to yourself and saving it up for Coast to Coast?
John, this started, believe it or not, in March of 2010. It started out with watching Ancient Aliens, and it turned out that I wanted to be, my hobby was the truth. And I spent a lot of time going through, and it's all interrelated. Energies, UFOs, extraterrestrials, the control, the elite, the federal reserve, it's all interrelated.
One
big mess.
Thank you very much for your call. That was quite enlightening. Either you fellas, Dan or Stephen, want to amplify anything that he said?
Well,
the fact that it's all controlled from the top, it's all money-based, and
that's it.
I
mean, it's like hamburgers, which is the only analogy I can give it. It's simple and easy to understand for everybody. If I'm selling hamburgers at McDonald's, and I've got millions of cattle out in the field, and all of a sudden somebody like me comes out, and I'm selling hamburgers for a penny, and they're healthier, and now my millions of cattle are costing me a fortune to maintain and hire, you know, employees, well, of course you're going to harass that guy. I invented an evaporator carburetor. There is alternative energy, but the juxtaposition is it's in people's garage anymore because the big companies don't want anything to do with it. My brother is an executive at Ford, and he's very disgusted with it because they're in bed. Okay, I'll just give you an example. And my mom has a Ford Escape, brand new, 13. Okay, well, these things are tuned down. They're designed to get the fuel mileage they get. With a few tweaks of the computer under the dashboard, okay, and the proper carburation system, which is available right now, I can put one in myself, you can get 300 miles to a gallon, and they know it. It's factual. Mm-hmm. Go on YouTube and look at the kid on there that put the carburetor system in his V6 SUV. He's getting 250 miles to a gallon. So it is happening, but on a private sector level, you know.
Any data on what it does to his engine?
They run really well. The only difference is you have to use a 10-20 synthetic oil because you're not getting the lubrication like when you vaporize gasoline, for example, through your carburetor, which it vaporizes it into like a fine powdery mist. Well, that actually acts like a lubricant because that's what gasoline is. But when you use just fumes, like the fumes you can smell around a gas station,
right.
Well, that lubricant's not in there when it combusts. So you have to use a very thin synthetic oil. But since the oil doesn't get dirty, and you don't need a catalytic converter now, you don't need a carburetor now, you don't need a gas tank, a fuel pump. So it's actually an amazing thing. You can build one yourself for like $50.
Well,
put it in your car, a very safe one.
Nothing would surprise me. It really wasn't. Do we still have a Skype call there, Charles in Sacramento? Charles, on the Skype line.
Hello, yes.
Hey, Charles, how are you? Thanks for holding on so long, brother.
Wow, great, man. It's awesome to get through finally. Dan, Steve, and John, it's great to be on. I just wanted to talk about, you know, you guys hit on everything that I wanted to talk about, you know, the fear and all of that. And even on HARP, I was wanting to ask questions about that, but right now we have something, and I almost think that it's like a social experiment. I deal a lot with psychology, you know, and I see the effects of psychotropic medications and the treatment of depression and all of this stuff, and how it plays on our empathy and how we just kind of end up not caring. But anyway, in Stockton, the police have pretty much said, here in California, Stockton, California, the police have pretty much said that they're not going to respond to any calls that deal with, you know, anything minor, and that they will respond if somebody's life is at risk. And, you know, I think this really plays back on the fear part, and I think that we have a whole system that is just, I don't know, I lose a lot of faith because I see the way that our children are taught, and I see how we're kind of brainwashed. And then I served 9 years in the military myself, so I'm kind of paranoid because I've seen what people can do when they when they get into groups. But you know, we keep our prisoners segregated, and we perpetuate this problem throughout society. But you know, I'm really concerned that this thing in Stockton is really going to, you know, I think it's like a test to see if people will start a civil war. I just kind of wanted to see what you guys thought about that.
What do you think the chances are of some sort of a, certainly, I mean, unrest is not uncommon. People have been striking and marching and rioting, you know, and not huge ones like the L.A. riots. Well, they've gotten their more than their fair share of them, but what do you think the chances are of having something like that? Do you think when it really hits the fan, people will just calm down and deal with it, or do you think they'll flip out on a huge level?
Flip out. To answer your question, John, it depends on how many people we wake up and how many people are prepared by that point. But if SH were to TS, or S were to HTS tomorrow,
yep.
And there would be massive rioting in the streets. There'd be people getting together and looting grocery stores. There would be it'd be mass chaos.
You know, the thing that gets me about this, didn't mean to step on you there, we're running out of time, and I've talked to you for two more hours. I don't know if you'd go for that, but I would. With these new notes, whatever they may be, already in the banks, as Stephen pointed out a while ago, so I suppose that means that it doesn't really matter if you pull a little cash out of the bank and keep it in a cigar box somewhere. You won't be able to use it?
It'll be worthless. And I'll tell you why. Because what people aren't getting, and I talk to people every day, at least 10 or 15 people a day, and they're all, I'm saving silver. I'm saving gold. I say, well, what are you going to do with it?
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do with it? You're acting like there's still going to be an active government that'll say, yeah, here, give me your gold, here's some rice. No, it's all over with. The system we lived under is for 2,000 years, roughly, from Rome, basically designed out of the Vatican and the Queen of England. It's over. It's coming to a bloody end. And money is not going to mean anything. It's going to go back to mom and pop stores, the people that save stuff. I need mason jars. Well, they're not going to take your silver coin, because what the heck are they going to do with it? They need something to pass off to the next customer, i.e. food, tobacco, a pint of vodka, commodities.
You know the way I see it, guys?
Okay.
The way I see it, it'll go one of two ways. It'll either turn into barter town, like that Beyond Thunderdome. I think it was the Mel Gibson movie.
Mm-hmm.
Thunderdome, whatever that was.
Yeah.
Or they'll just decide that, and I've mentioned this before on the air, if debt, interest, all of it can be created with the stroke of a pen, when you can create money that doesn't even really physically exist, why couldn't everybody just hit the reset button like Iceland did and just say, nah, we're not doing this. We're just going to, the debt's gone. It's erased. We're hitting the reset button. We're starting at zero. Here we go. And their operation didn't skip a beat.
Oh, they will do that, but it won't be in the near term. It's going to be chaos and bartering, just like you said, the barter system in the near term. And eventually things will reconfigure, if you will. You know, and people like Dan will be hired in as sheriff or mayor, and things will go back to whatever normal. I mean, what we should be, I should say, you know, just love each other. I mean, until we learn how to love each other again, I'm not trying to be all like hippie 1960s. It all boils down to that. And I do love you, John, and I do love you, Dan. I mean, I really do. I'd give my life for you, and I was not even thinking about it. And until we get back to that mentality, nothing else is even relevant, in my opinion.
Isn't that the truth? I mean, I understand why you qualified it with the mention about the hippie thing. It's like I didn't realize what a hippie I was. But really, the only thing that's really important in your life are the people in it and how and what and how you are to each other. That's really pretty much it. I mean, after you've had everything that you can possibly have, you've had the motorcycles and the cars and the planes and the mountaintop lodges and homes and everything else. I mean, how empty.
There's nothing wrong with that stuff.
No, but if it becomes your God and that's the thing that you worship, it's pretty thin at the end of the line.
Right. I mean, have beautiful things in your life. There's nothing to know that. I have a lot in my life. I've been so fortunate that I give out so much every day, not because I have to, not because I necessarily want to. It's just something I do by nature. I don't even think about it. I meet people on the street every day, young people. They don't have, you know, they smoke, they don't have cigarettes, they don't have money, they need gas. I give it to them. I don't even think twice about it. And when we all go back to doing that, when the fortunate can help the less fortunate, I guess I'm saying, it'll spread the wealth, but not doing it in a way Obama's trying to do it, you know.
Well, you know, he's not the only one who's tried it. I mean, I don't know where he came from, why he's here. I mean, a lot of people really like him, and a lot of people really don't like him. But in any case, it looks to me like the agenda moves forward regardless of who's in office. I hate to just...
You're right. He's not in power.
No, he's not. Not really.
No, he's just he's a puppet. And Bush was a puppet. He has an IQ, like room temperature, Bush. And these are puppets, and they work for Brzezinski and Kissinger and Rockefeller. They take orders from them, and if they screw up, well, just, you know, go look at the Kennedy tapes and see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, I hate to pull the cord on this train, but you know what? We are just smooth out of time. It has been an absolute delight to visit with you two tonight, and I hope that you will stay in touch with us and that you will come back in the future.
Okay, well, God bless you, buddy, and you're one of my big heroes. I love George Norrie, but I like your voice better.
Oh, bless your heart. Let's hope George is having a drink somewhere now. Listen, thanks, guys. That was the dynamic horsepower duo, Dan Johnson and Stephen Miller. Their website, peopleagainstndaa.com. All right, part two of the Zombie Jombie weekend tomorrow night. It's Agenda 21. As Jack Lord used to say, be here. Aloha.